Hi, I'm Brittany Luce, and welcome to Sampler, the show where we play you handpicked moments from podcasts that you just have to hear. Today's show is all about matters of the heart. We'll hear about pining for one's true love, how to meet your match, and later in the show, we'll check in with one couple in particular. And just a heads up, since we're talking about relationships, love, sex, and everything in between, some of the material and language in this episode is not suitable for younger ears. So, I wanted to start with one of the earliest experiences many of us have in our journey through the world of love. The dramatic, over the top, can't think of anything but the other person, adolescent love. And nothing illustrates this better than reading a love letter written by a teenager. Or, better yet, having an adult read a love letter he wrote as an angsty teenager who couldn't be with, to use his words, the woman of his dreams. So this first clip is from a podcast called Grownups Read Things They Wrote as Kids. What you're about to hear is a grown-up, Dave, reading a letter his 17-year-old self wrote to a girl he spent two summers with at camp, in front of a live audience.
Dear Julia, before I begin, I want you to know that nothing you've done brought on what I'm about to say. It's obvious by now that you know how much I love and care for you. I don't even know exactly what it is that brought on this crazy adoration for you, but whatever it was, it worked. This isn't another one of those love letters. It's more of a way for me to be able to live my life normally, rather than always upset and crying because I can't be without you, or because I can't be with you. I love you. I love absolutely everything about you. I love your smile. I love your eyes. I love hugging you. I love your sense of humor. I love how you deal with problems by saying, fuck it. I love your nose, ears, eyes, and mouth. I really can't get enough of you. This letter so far might seem a little too intense, but it's my only way of relieving this passion that I've had inside me for 3 years now. When you and I hooked up after going to the Peel Pub, it was the happiest moment in all my life. The night before when I couldn't get it up. Unbelievable. The night before when I couldn't get it up, it wasn't because I was tired and stoned. It was because I was so happy and in love that I wasn't even thinking about sex. I was thinking that I was kissing you and that's really all I needed to be happy. When we were at Sarah's house, the second night I was holding you in my arms and we were sitting on the floor, there was a point while fooling around that I opened my eyes and looked up at you and I swear I could have started crying right then and there because of how happy I was to be holding you. That night I told you Jeff was coming to pick me up. That was a lie. I lied because I was so happy after being with you that walking home from Sarah's was nothing. I practically skipped home and God knows I live far from her. At first, I decided that the only way for me to be relaxed about us was to not call you and hope that eventually I would get over you. But I value our friendship more than any one of my best friends, and I can't not talk to you. I'm also having very mixed feelings about you and other guys, because I know we're not together, and I know there will always be other guys, but when I picture you with someone else, I get butterflies in my stomach. Like when you went to stay with Mike for the football game, I could hardly sleep until I smoked a joint to forget about everything. Not because I knew you were gonna hook up with him, but what if, you know? I've never felt like this way about anyone in my entire life. You're the shit in my world, and it's not going anywhere. I love you more than anything, and I can't stop typing because I don't think I could ever truly show you how I feel. But I think this has done a satisfactory job. Julia, I love you in every sense of the word, and I really don't think anyone could ever love you the way I do. If any guy you ever date in life ever puts you down or pisses you off, don't stay with him, because it would piss me off to know that the nicest, sweetest, coolest, most beautiful girl in the world is being treated like shit. My number is 785-8945. Remember it, please, because any time in life you need love or someone to care for you, call, because I want you to know I always will. I can't write anymore because I can't stand thinking about you. Just know, in big bold, that David Keystone does and always will love Julia. P.S. I didn't write this letter to upset you in any way, shape, or form. I just had to let you know how I feel. I'm sorry for making it so personal, but that's what true love will do to a person.
Okay, so I have to be honest with you guys. The thing about Dave's letter is it reminds me of a lot of things that I wrote on my live journal when I was in high school. Which is actually even more embarrassing because LiveJournal is just like open and all your friends could read it. So it's not just like I gave myself the dignity of just like writing these like long, angsty reflections and then just sending them to one person. No, I posted mine on the internet for everyone that I knew and went to school with to see. So eventually I grew out of the angsty letter writing phase or you know, I guess angsty live journal posting phase. And Dave did too, you know, which is why he was able to be a grown up that was reading a letter that he wrote as a kid. I hope actually that he phased out of that. But, you know, we all moved into adult dating, which is, I mean, I've had some moments of good luck with dating as an adult, but I would say that most of it has been pretty terrible. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like some people are out there looking for the person that they want to spend the rest of their life with. And other people, like myself, are just looking for somebody tall, good looking, with central air to hang out with during the summertime. And it's kind of just this mess of like consistently unmet expectations. The other thing is, I guess to kind of throw a wrench into the whole operation, there's no real way to meet new people as an adult. You're no longer meeting people at summer camp. Like Dave, you're no longer meeting people at school. After a while, you run out of new people to meet through work. If you're anything like me, you've dated all of your friends' friends. So, you know, what do you do when you've dated everyone that you know? And that's a really big question. So I figured, who better to ask about how to find your person than our head of people operations, Katie Christensen.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The head of people operations is a rather startup-y and nebulous title. Please, for our listeners at home who may not know what that means, what do you do?
My job is basically to make sure that we are attracting and recruiting and hiring the best possible people to come work at Gimlet. And then also, once people are at Gimlet, to make sure that they feel like this is the absolute best place in the world to work.
So are you currently involved, attached?
I am.
How did you meet this person?
This lucky fellow, Jim, and I have been together for about a year, and we met on the World Wide Web, on OkCupid.
You know what? Honestly, I'm a big believer in OkCupid.
Oh, I don't believe in meeting people in real life. I just don't. Like, I want to know, I want to see, like, can you write?
Mm.
Are you interesting? Are you funny? Do you have weird perspectives on things?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I like to do a little bit of like pre-screening, a little pre-work.
I am so glad you brought that up. It's totally in line with our next clip. So it comes to us from a show called Star Talk Radio that's hosted by astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. So his guest for this episode is this love researcher, Helen Fisher. She is a biological anthropologist, and she's also a senior researcher at the Kinsey Institute. She also happens to be a scientific advisor to Match.com. So Dr. Fisher is talking about online dating with Neil deGrasse Tyson and his co-host for this episode, comedian Chuck Nice.
If you go on these dating sites, it does require some work, you know. First of all, lower your standards.
When in doubt, lower your standards. Is this advice you're giving us, Helen? You're telling us?
Think of reasons to say yes.
Okay.
You know, there's a huge part of the brain that enables us to overlook the negative and focus on the positive.
Do it all the time.
But one of the problems when you're meeting people online is you know so little about them when you start out
mm-hmm.
that you overweight those few things that you know. The more you get to know somebody, the more you like them.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give people a chance, you know.
But see, now that is a chemical thing because I'm probably going to get in trouble if I say this. I'm going to say it.
We can edit this, Chuck.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, so here's the truth. I have often sat and said to myself, why after 18 years of marriage...
Okay, stop there. Okay. Let me protect Chuck from himself.
I'm going to protect me. I'm not going to say this. I'm just going to...
I got to protect Chuck.
Hear it.
Back away from the microphone.
If I were to put it down on paper,
yeah,
I should not be in love.
Yeah.
I should not
Very
be.
Unrealistic.
Really, I should not be.
Yeah.
This woman, I love her to death, and there's nothing she can do that's wrong. And if I were to actually go and say all the stuff that I probably would be like, no, I don't like that. No, I don't like. I should have left long ago.
So if you deconstruct,
if I deconstruct my relationship,
there's nothing there. But in total, it's working for you.
Oh my God,
yeah.
It's the best thing ever
okay.
happened to me. In my
so
life.
So Helen,
we evolved it. Not
thanks,
enough.
Thanks a lot.
We evolved to deceive.
Chuck, you are lying to yourself.
Wait.
No, you're not.
No, here is why you are in love with your wife.
Wait, Helen.
You are overlooking the negative, and there's a huge part of the brain that enables you to do that, and bless it.
So if you do have a list of what you like in someone, and then you put it on one of these websites, and then you find someone that matches it, the premise is that's your soulmate. But what Chuck is saying is, if you laid out the inventory, then no, he would have never met her in this way.
I would have never met her this way.
I bet that there are real... No, you wouldn't have met her. But once you did meet her, there are things about that woman that you really like that ring deep into your love map.
Then what of these websites that are matching people up and slicing and dicing them?
The bottom line is, these are not dating services. These are introducing services. The only true algorithm is your own human brain. So the faster you can get out and meet the guy or girl in the bar, on the street, that is just giving you a whole range of people, and then you got to do the job. And that's what's really thrilling.
But would you agree that if you proscribe...
Right.
What you think you're going to be attracted to, that is greatly restricting your options.
The problem
is...
At least
there's a potential for that, right?
Listen, staying at home and looking for somebody under the couch is certainly going to, not do much for your options.
So, Katie?
I have found, through both dating and hiring and recruiting people, which are shockingly similar processes...
I always thought they were... Speak more. I always thought they were similar.
So, I have learned... that there are some people out there who are programmed and hardwired to only want to see what they want to see in other people. So they look at either a resume or they see an online dating profile, mm-hmm. and they're like, this person's amazing. This person did all these cool things. This person can write in complete sentences. Oh my God, this is like amazing.
Yeah.
But you willingly ignore any sort of red flag until it's slammed into your face.
Too late.
Yeah. And then there are some people who are, I think, just naturally skeptical of any sort of process like that. So whether it's online dating and they're like, I don't know, this like profile's kind of gross. Like he wore a red shirt in his picture. And like guys that wear red shirts are just like the worst.
I know a lot of people.
And
like
same
that.
With resumes. It's like, you can't get a complete picture of anybody from any piece of paper, from any screen. And so I really like her advice about just going out and kind of getting to know the person. Like the sooner you can get out and interact with the person and see whether or not they're actually insane or actually really nice. Like, that's real.
Well, how many relationships have you, like serious relationships have you been in that started online?
3.
Wow.
There's just something that I really like about being able to go on a site. And God, as I'm saying this, it makes me sound like I'm some like I feel like a psycho. Like I feel like I'm sitting back here, like there are like visions of me like in a dark room, like scrolling and being like next.
No, I've had incredible luck with online. Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a lot of terrible experiences.
Yeah,
but I definitely have had incredible luck with online dating, and I've had a lot of friends who like met their husband or wife.
Yeah,
and later the mother or father of their children, like on dating sites, specifically OkCupid.
There's something nice and like a little bit reassuring about being able to see how someone presents themselves to the universe before you sit down. And by the way, I'm a total proponent of like exchange a couple messages, like get it out of the way, like no need to like write novels back and forth for a year and then like go meet for a beer or a coffee. It's like an hour and a half of your life. And if it sucks, who cares?
I have a question. Yeah. So you said something about messages.
Yes.
Did you message your current boyfriend first or did he message you first?
He messaged me first. Actually, after our first date, it was like on a Tuesday. He texted me on a Thursday and was like, hey, are you around tonight? I'd love to meet up. And I was like, oh, I have plans. This is kind of last minute.
Yeah.
But are you around this weekend? And he's like, yeah, I might have some people over to have some beers on my roof on Friday. And that was the end of the message. And I was just like, so am I invited or not? Yeah. Like, I don't really know what to do with this.
Oh, I never know.
I wrote back and I was like, I can be a little like cheeky and I can like play this game too. So I wrote back and I was like, is that an invitation? And he just wrote back, no, period.
What?
And I literally sat looking at my phone for like a while and was just like, oh, like I was into this guy and now he's like trying to neg me. So I just wrote back, cool. And then he wrote back, just kidding. Of course it is. And I had such whiplash.
Ugh.
Now that I've known him for a year, it was him just being like a weird, funny guy, but in a way that I had no context for. I interpreted as just like being super weird.
But it's good. You know what? You were doing what Helen Fisher said, which you were looking for something to like.
Yeah. You have to. We are all flawed humans in this world. And if you only look for the flaws, you're only going to be disappointed.
That's the gospel that I'm always trying to preach to other people. And nobody wants to listen to me. So I'm really glad that you were able to publicly...
We will start this ministry together, Brittany.
Yes, I'm so ready.
Should we go upstairs and put in our notice?
Yeah. No longer work at Gimlet, neither one of us.
Yeah.
You guys are on your own.
Hope you guys enjoyed Sampler. This is the last episode. Bye.
Thanks so much to our Director of People Operations, Katie Christensen, for sharing her online dating wisdom with us. Okay, Samplers, we're going to take a quick break. But first, to recap what you have heard so far, the letter from a love-struck teenager came from the show Grown Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids, and the primer on meeting people online is from Star Talk Radio. Coming up, we are all going to set some relationship goals.
There's always that one person that comes up to us and says something to the effect of, you guys have the perfect relationship. And Elliot and I are always like, no, no.
Hi, and welcome back to Sampler. In the first half of today's show, we covered puppy love, dating. But now we're going to talk about what can come after that, marriage. I'd like to start off by introducing you to one of my favorite married couples, Danielle Smith and Elliot Wilson. They're both journalists with decades of experience, and they've both worked as editors of major music magazines, Elliot at XXL and Danielle at Vibe. Oh, and they host a podcast together called Relationship Goals that they tape at their kitchen table. Here's a clip.
You put the dirty water that was in the bowl of the salad spinner in the salad bowl.
Why would I put it in there?
And I didn't know that, so I'm just adding the dressing, the Parmesan cheese, the carrots and the radishes and everything else. And when I was tasting it, I was like, why is the salad gritty? It was gross.
So now I've been banned from sous chef duty after that.
There's no raw foods that you
can eat. And now I've been eased back in. And then today, what did I do with the spinach that was proper?
It was very good. He sautéed it in some olive oil and some garlic and some lemon juice and a tiny sprinkling
That's
of parmesan.
That's what Wyan's out here doing, sautéing some spinach. That's the streets need to know. All right, so I'm back in your graces, but I still can't touch to go anywhere near salad.
There's no salads. There's no salads.
Why do you love making me some fake sous chef? Is this sous chef, right, as you call it?
Because seriously, I've been cooking in this marriage for 10 years.
Cooking this marriage.
You have never really cooked, and that's been somewhat cool. But for the next 10 years...
I can't cook. I'm not holding
you're
back.
In the kitchen.
I'm not holding back.
This is how I called him into the kitchen tonight. I said, Elliot, time for you to come in here and earn your keep. That's just what I said.
Right, keep.
On Relationship Goals, Danielle Elliott, as they're sometimes called, talk about much more than the proper use of salad spinners. They dissect their relationship and why it works. They also talk about music, writing, and their dog, Rose. Full disclosure, I find their podcast totally adorable, and I really admire their commitment to letting it all hang out. I wanted to figure out the secret to their relationship success, so I invited them to come in for a little chat. They started off by telling me about how they met. Danielle was Elliot's editor.
No way in hell did I ever think I'd end up marrying her. I didn't even know if we liked each other. We respected each other from jump, but we never really got along.
Yeah, like, we never vibed well.
We never vibed well.
And I always tell people it wasn't like that thing of like, oh, they hate each other, so that kind of proves they like each other.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, all right. It wasn't really like, it's like, hi, Elliot. How hi, Danielle. 7 years later, 8 years later. Nine years later.
You gonna fast forward that crazy?
Yeah, I am. and then I just saw him at a birthday party. After like it had been years. And I hadn't seen him in person in like 2 or 3 years.
What was different?
Well, the main thing that was different is he had taken the cornrows out of his hair, which was really working for me in terms of cuteness. I mean, I love a good cornrow, but it just wasn't working.
Who doesn't love a good cornrow?
But it was not working for Elliot. And so, you know, it was a real moment for me because I saw him and I was like, I remember saying to my friend, has Elliot always been cute? And she was like, no. And I said, okay, but he's really cute right now. And she was like, I don't know what's wrong with you because you haven't even had anything to drink yet. So I went over there.
Thanks, ladies.
I went over there and I was just like, what's up with the cornrows? Like, this is my super Mac move, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, so I see you cut your hair, you know, all sassy, like it's about time or whatever.
No, you started touching my hair.
Yeah. If I could tell the story, then
all
I would definitely tell that part.
All right.
But But I was like, yeah, it looks really, you know, great. It's about time you cut it or whatever. And I did touch it. And I was like, so what's the occasion? Like, why did you do it? And
he
was
like, it like this.
I did go ahead, go ahead. And then he goes, my grandmother just passed away. And she never did like the cornrows. And I didn't want to wear them to her funeral. And I definitely didn't want her looking down from heaven on me and seeing those cornrows. And I was like, okay, wow. Like, we went out a couple of times in New York. And then I was going to San Francisco to teach, the Bay Area, to teach for a month. And I told him that. And he had said in passing, I'll come visit you while you're out there. And I, you know, I thought that was the usual kind of BS from dudes. And he called me like the day before I was going. He was like, so I booked my flight and I'm going to need you to tell me where to stay. And I was like, what? Because I had a little like corporate apartment or something out there. So he comes to San Francisco. And when I say we hadn't really become in any kind of way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had like a guest in town. And it yes, and yeah. I had to entertain him. Like, the first like day and a half, we did not enjoy each other's company. It was super awkward. We were irritating each other. If we hadn't had like the next day where we kind of had to see each other, mm-hmm. and then the next day after that where we kind of had to see each other, mm-hmm. I don't know if it would have popped off. And honestly, the last day he got food poisoning and we had to take him to emergency. but in real truth, it was at the hospital, to an emergency room, that I was like, okay, he's a real person. And I just felt tied to him. Now, it took a while for things to really kind of even work out once we got back to New York, but it's been on since pretty much.
Been on ever since then.
Pretty much.
So it was the food poisoning.
Yes, it was. In any case, it took a minute. But then, you know, we got married a year and a half after we got married like a year and a half after the great food poisoning incident.
How long have you guys been married?
10 and a half years.
10 and a half years. That's beautiful. So why did you start a podcast, though? Why a podcast about your marriage? Because you guys have both done so many other things.
Well, one of the things, the prevailing thing, was us trying to figure out how to work together. We were good at competing against each other. Mm. A year in our marriage, I was still at XXL. She got offered the job to go back to Vibe and be editor in chief. So then we worked and competed against each other, which was really fun for a bunch of newlyweds.
We were newlyweds.
So we would fight over TI covers and never speak about it, and then put magazines out and then be able to talk about the magazines once they're out. It's great that, like, at the time we were running the two premier urban hip hop magazines.
Yeah.
Kind of going for the same thing. And it's like, in this world, you know,
there's
so many different lanes. So Danielle could be great and I could be great. And it's less of a thing of us being looked at or competing for the same thing. So I think that's helped immensely. And like, but we still have our differences. But at the end mm-hmm. of the day, we both want each other to win.
I feel like a lot of times if Elle and I are out together, there's always that one person that comes up to us and says something to the effect of, oh my God, it is so great to meet you. You guys have the perfect relationship. And I just want my relationship to be like your relationship. And Elliot and I are always like, no, and no. Like, we have a great relationship, but it is by no means perfect.
Yeah.
And we work on it all the time. And it's fun, but it's really hard. But you can't really say that to a person, like, sometimes just like in the bar or whatever. So we wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, because people say, sometimes they would say, you guys are my relationship goals. And that's why we named it that, because we're like, we need to explain to you guys that relationship goals is wild
it
complex.
It doesn't work that way,
man.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, but like, I mean, you know, not to sound exactly like the person who's always approaching you guys in the bar, but one of the things that, like, I listen to your show, like, pretty much every single week, and it's really comforting. Like, my parents have been married for 36 years, mm-hmm. and they have a similar dynamic where they're always kind of, like, joking with each other, poking fun at each other. And, like, listening to your show was the first time, because I'm 28.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I would like to get married in the future, but there's that, you're kind of hesitant. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, it's not easy. It's not like a cakewalk or anything like that. But hearing the way that you guys go back and forth is kind of like, okay, this may be something like that's worth you know, this may be something worth exploring.
I'm always like, if it's what you want, it can be really good.
Yeah, I think what it shows is that it never stops being work. The marriage is the most like incredibly challenging but rewarding experience you could have, and I think that we show that. But you still got to deal with this person whose feelings are prominent. Not just your own feelings are prominent. Mm-hmm. Her feelings, your partner's feelings are prominent. And then you have this thing that you're joined in that I always say is bigger than both of you, in a sense.
I think you're being quite eloquent right now, if I do say so myself.
Seriously. Thank you. My speech class is working on me. This is why men can't really explain their feelings out here in these streets. We love each other to death, and I think that, but we also respect the hell out of each other still. And I think that we keep earning that respect and earning that love from each other, and that's why it keeps moving forward.
That's real. How has having a podcast about your relationship, mm-hmm. right, that a lot of other people can hear, mm-hmm. how has that affected your relationship? How has it changed your relationship?
I think some things can be magnified when you're kind of, for lack of a better term, performing your marriage.
Yeah.
And there's this thing where I think I get embarrassed much more easily than Elliot does, and just more self-conscious than he is, mm-hmm. about, you know, presenting myself and presenting our marriage. And so some of being on the podcast for me has made me sort of shrug my shoulders to some of that more so, mm-hmm. and sort of be like, well, you know, life is life. This is us. And people can like it or not. Like, I haven't always had that attitude. And I think I'm getting a little bit more of that. And I think it's good. But then there's other things that I feel like I said are magnified. Like, Elliot is really sarcastic. And on a daily basis, it's so fun. But then on the podcast, I'm like, he needs to be more sincere. You know, like, but it's, things are magnified because you feel like you're doing it in front of people.
Yeah.
And it's... So you're
like the executive producer of the podcast, in a sense, I guess, in that sense, and also the performer. So I feel like, you know, we kind of go by what Danielle thinks is cool enough overall, that the lines I'm don't get crossed at times or whatever.
Behind the scenes, I'm like pinching his leg and I'm like giving him the cutoff sign. And he's just ignoring me. He don't care. He's ignoring me. He's continuing on. He don't care.
So, relationship goals, mm-hmm. name of the show.
Relationship goals.
The goals part, I think, is fed a lot by the segment that you guys do called Tips. So, in the spirit of the interview, mm-hmm. if you guys could, please close our conversation by providing our listeners with a relationship tip.
Elliot?
Don't worry about being right, make it right. Like, I think that sometimes you get so caught up in you don't agree on something, you have to be right. There's no real prize you get at the end of winning an argument. Mm. You just really need to, you only argue because you want to have some type of understanding, right? So I think sometimes, especially with me, I will get caught up in I have to be right. I'm right and you're wrong. It's not really about that. It's trying to figure out how, once you calm down, how to understand something. And even if you disagree, learn how to move on. So, and how do you then make it right?
Oh, just have rules of whose job is what in the house. Just don't change it. Just let that be a lifetime decision.
Mm.
So whoever's job it is to do the trash, mm-hmm. that's their job for life. I haven't taken the trash out in 10 years. And even when I was living in California and Elliot was living in New York, I literally would try to save not taking the trash out until Elliot came to visit me.
Hey, babe, it's great to see you. Okay, I got to put these six bags of garbage down there.
I know I'm not alone in thinking this, but how cute are Danielle and Elliot? Like, they both have the same job. They're both in the same industry. And it just really reminds me, I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, of His Girl Friday, when, like, Hildy Johnson and Walter Burns finally get back together and they can just, like, investigate stuff together. I could be totally alone in that, but I really enjoyed talking to them and I really appreciate you guys listening today. So today you've heard clips from Grown Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids, Star Talk Radio, and Relationship Goals. Stay tuned after the credits for a sneak peek of next week's show. This episode was produced by Chris Neary, Matthew Nelson, Rose Reed, Sarah Abdurrahman, and myself. It was edited by Caitlin Kenny, Annie Rose Strasser, and Peter Clowney. Special thanks to Katie Christensen. Our theme music was made by Mike Avellian, and our ad music was made by Mark Phillips. Other original music in the show was by Dr. Crosby. The show was mixed by Matthew Bowl and Rick Kwan. Sampler is a production of Gimlet Media.
Next week on Sampler, we'll take a walk through the happiest place on Earth.
I was listening to what they were saying, but in the background, I was like, wow, there's Disneyland in the background. I really wish these guys would shut up so that I could hear it. I thought to myself, you know, I could do this so much better.